God's grace, his mercy, his peace be yours through God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, today's Super Bowl Sunday. I'm sure some of you men are excited about that. Some of you ladies, too. But tomorrow is Valentine's Day. So, guys, in case you need something to panic about, there it is. Just a friendly reminder to any of you procrastinators out there who might be here today. You know, I think people fall into about three camps when it comes to Valentine's Day. There are folks who love it, plan for it, spend lots of money on it. There are folks who just shrug it off. Just another day of the year. And then there are those who roll their eyes at it. They hate the idea of another Hallmark made-up holiday. But you know what? It's really a shame that we don't celebrate love every single day of the year. It's easy to take our loved ones for granted, isn't it? So no matter which of the three camps you fall into, I hope you'll take some time every day to notice and appreciate the people who love you. And don't let a day go by without letting someone know that you love and appreciate them. I read an article not too long ago, which I thought was appropriate for Valentine's Day and for our text today about the Beatitudes. One of the most famous landmarks in the world is the statue of Jesus with outstretched arms that overlooks the city of Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. It's called Christ the Redeemer, and it stands 125 feet tall. It's incredible. I've never seen it in person, but the pictures of it are just amazing. Well, a little town by the name of Rio Grande do Sul, also in Brazil, is building a bigger statue. This one is called Christ the Protector, and it's going to be 141 feet tall, 16 feet taller than the one in Rio de Janeiro. And one unique feature about this Christ the Protector statue is that there's going to be a lookout room with wide windows installed right about at the height of where Jesus' heart would be. An elevator will take you up and down so that you can see the city and the valley below from Jesus' heart. Isn't that interesting? Can you imagine what it would be like to look at the world through Jesus' heart? Now, isn't that the goal of Christian life anyway? To grow continually in our ability to look at others through the heart of Jesus? You know, it challenges us, and this is what Jesus does with his words here. It challenges our whole perspective when we realize that the purpose of our life is not to fulfill our own happiness, but the purpose of our life is to live as Jesus lived. The purpose of our life is to do those good works for which God prepared us and created us for. And that's what baptism's all about, too. And the purpose of our life is to represent to all those around us, to the people outside these doors, Jesus' character, his mission, and his message. And you thought buying the right Valentine's gift was difficult. And so that's why the words today about the Beatitudes are very appropriate for Valentine's Day and for every day. Because you see, Jesus' teachings come from a place of grace. They come from his heart. And they come to us through his truly unearned and unmerited love. And even his toughest teachings, you know, the ones here which make us squirm a little bit, the ones which perhaps offend us a little bit, the ones which sound harsh here, even those sound differently when we understand them through Jesus' love. And that changes, I think, how we respond to them too. You got to understand who Jesus was talking to here. Take a look at it. Jesus had been teaching crowds. He'd been healing people, casting out evil spirits. And we're told that a great crowd had come from all over the surrounding region, even from the Gentile towns in the area. He was popular. But Jesus turns and talks to his disciples in these words. Not the crowd, but his disciples, and that means you and me. Why did he do that? I mean, why did he want them, and why did he want us to understand them as applying to us, and what did he want us to know? Well, let me suggest to you, if I may, that the very first thing Jesus is telling his disciples here and telling us is not to judge our lives by our current circumstances. Okay, that's all through the Bible. And you know, if you can, write that down on the palm of your hand so you can look at it every day. We don't judge our life by our current circumstances. And that means we don't set our heart on the things of this world. That's not what we're made for. You know, you're healthy now, great. You may have a little power in your life, decision-making ability, fantastic. But you don't base your happiness or your self-worth or even your security on those things. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you're grieving. Maybe you're dealing with an illness. Maybe you feel like people are out to get you right now in some way. Well, God be with you. But don't base your life and your self-worth on that either. Your circumstances don't define you. What's important is whether your circumstances drive you closer to God or away from God. Now remember, this is a time when Jesus' star is rising. He's popular. Crowds are following him. They go home, they tell their friends and family, and they come out too. They want what Jesus is giving. But Jesus never let that popularity go to his head. And he doesn't want his disciples, those around him on this plane, us here now, he doesn't want his disciples to think that following him is a great way to bring earthly rewards. In fact, just the opposite is true. It's so easy to let the good things in life, whether it be health or relationships, whether we're accepted socially, whether we have the things which people count as important in terms of material goods, it's important not to let those become the foundation of our lives, of our attitude, of our view of other people. And yet there are times when the things that God blesses us with materially can drive us further from God. Let me tell you about a man by the name of Charles DeVoe. He formed a hedge fund in 2007 called the International Value Advisors. He was the chief investment officer. At its peak, the IVA had over $20 billion in assets under management. But then came COVID, and things changed. In 2020, his major investments lost money, lots of it. And according to his friends, he took it personally. Well, later that year, the IVA board voted to close and liquidate the assets. And then in April of last year, in 2021, Charles DeVoe, who was a married father of two, jumped to his death from a skyscraper in Midtown Manhattan. He had defined his self-worth, his happiness, his whole purpose by the value he returned to his investors, by his job. And that's something which too many of us men, and now even a lot of ladies who are becoming career women, that's what too many of us do. We set our hearts on the things of this world. We define ourselves by what we do or what we have. We let our circumstances tell us who we are. And yet circumstances change. But God doesn't. God's character and God's promises are the same yesterday, today, forever. You know that. Or you should. Jesus knew that his disciples, whether those 12 in front of him or whether us here today, he knew that his disciples would experience times of great success and times of great failure. So the first thing he wanted to teach all of us is this: don't ever judge your life by your current circumstances. And right along in line with that, with these Beatitudes, the second thing Jesus is telling us, that God is working even through our most painful circumstances. That's the perspective we gain when we look at our circumstances through Jesus' heart, through his love. If we search for what God is teaching us in our circumstances, if we rely on God's power to sustain us even through the worst of times, then we're like a beggar holding out our hands for the bread that God would give us. And then we start to see God's hand at work, even through our most painful and difficult times. Many of you here know that. You've dealt with them, or are. Let me tell you about another guy by the name of Robertson McQuilkin. He was president of Columbia Bible College, 22 years. And then one day he up and gave up his prestigious and very active ministry because his beloved wife Muriel developed Alzheimer's. And some of you know what that's like. His close friends said right away, they said, oh, put her in a home. Get on with your business. Do your work. But he said he was determined to take care of her right up until the time God called her home. And he said it was very painful to watch his wife decline, and some of you know that too. Yet he wrote later, he said that he learned so much about God from his years of caring for Muriel. He wrote, I don't have to care for her. I get to care for her. It's a privilege. One blessing is the way it's teaching me about love, God's love, because he sustains us. See, here's the thing. God didn't come and rescue Robertson and Miriam McQuilkin from their circumstances. God didn't take it all away. Instead, God taught them more about his love through their circumstances. And that, too, is how God works. So if you're hurting, if you're dealing with things, circumstances in life now which you don't understand, do understand that God is working through them for your good, even though that's hard to see. Because it all comes through the love of Jesus, through his heart. Some of you might have read books by John Irving. He's a best-selling author. He begins every new novel he writes by writing the very last line of the book first. He says once he knows the ending, he's ready to begin telling the story because he's in control. You know, that's the secret Jesus tried to teach his disciples and tries to teach us. He knows the ending to our stories, each and every one of them. And he knows here, as he's telling out these Beatitudes, that he's going to die to bring us to God and to give us eternal life and forgiveness and hope. He already knows that God has prepared a kingdom for those who love him. And he already knows that every painful circumstance in this life is intended to draw us closer to God, to his love and his purpose and his will for us, if only we don't get in the way. There's one last thing Jesus is telling the disciples here and telling us through these Beatitudes. And that is we find fulfillment in life by living for him. You know, there's many places in this life where you can try and seek fulfillment. In fact, Amazon has what's called a fulfillment center. And people think somehow that they're going to find fulfillment, happiness, contentment, through the more things they possess or the better things that they can get. But let me tell you this, there's only one place where you ultimately find fulfillment. There's an old gospel song in our hymnal which says it all. It says, heaven is my home, and that's it. This world is not our home. It's our stopping point for a little while. You see, you were made for eternal life with God. That's something we affirmed this morning with little Taylor. You were made for eternal life with God when Jesus died for you. And you are to live in a world of yours which is measured by God's values and God's priorities. But because we live in this world, things are going to collide at times, head on. When our values and our priorities are established by God, hit head on with the values and the priorities of this world. And that means you and I aren't going to fit in sometimes. Our habits and our lifestyle are going to look different to our friends and maybe even our family. And people will question why we live that way. And they could talk about it. They could perhaps even reject you. Jesus warns his disciples of that. But Jesus is calling them here, and he's calling us too, to sacrifice what is ours for him. To replace our values, as the world sets it, and our priorities, as the world wants it, by the values and priorities which are God's and God's alone. Let me close by telling you about a young lady and her brother. Her name was Sophie Scholl, and her brother was named Hans. They were born in Germany in 1921. Her parents were very dedicated to Lutheran Christians, and they raised all their six children to believe and follow Jesus. But when Adolf Hitler came to power in Germany, Sophie and her brother Hans joined the youth organizations that supported Hitler. Their father was horrified, and he tried again and again to change their minds, but they were totally convinced Hitler was the answer to all the problems in their country. But then they began to see the reality of Hitler's policies, especially in regard to their Jewish friends and neighbors. And slowly and then acceleratingly, Sophie and Hans abandoned their support of the Third Reich. Along with four friends, they created an organization called the White Rose. And members of the White Rose would hand out leaflets and pamphlets detailing all of Hitler's atrocities and encouraging German citizens to resist the Nazis. They risked their lives doing this. But they said their faith would not let them live comfortably and safely in a society that had abandoned the values of God. When in February 1943, Hans and Sophie were arrested by the Gestapo, 6 days after their arrest, they were executed. As Sophie walked that morning to the guillotine, where she would die, she said, "Such a fine and sunny day, and I have to go. But what does my life matter if through us thousands of people are awakened and stirred to action?" Hans said similar. He was 24. Sophie was 21. But the story of what they did has not been forgotten. It's been retold in books and movies in Germany through the years. They put God first, and they began to see the world through the heart of Jesus, not through the priorities of this world. And that applies to us, too. You know, out in the world, we can think we can find happiness in chasing success and health and wealth and status and comfort and security. But we're never going to find our fulfillment or our God-given purpose in those things. God made us to find fulfillment and happiness ultimately in living for him. It's not easy. These words of Jesus are not easy. He was clear about that. But what it tells us is not to set our hearts on the things of this world, but rather to set our hearts on knowing God and living in his will. And then we'll discover, you and me, that the life that God has given us, that he's made us for, is a life that is both abundant and eternal in all its blessings. In his name, amen. And now his peace, which indeed passes our understanding, keep your hearts and minds by faith to eternal life. Amen.